You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers turn it around against the Lions, but are we happy?
Aaron Jones conquers the end zone and the hearts of Packers fans.
The Jay Sternberger experiment comes to an unceremonious end.
And the Packers face a formidable quality opponent on Sunday night.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. Here we are in our 12th season of Packers Talk as we talk about a Monday night cleansing that may have chased, well, at least some of our doubts after week one away. As is usually the case, your hosts tonight are the mollified Kelly Hodgson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the disencumbered CD Angeli, Tundra Vision on Twitter. And lastly, little old me, your voice of reason, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can follow me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That's it for the introductions. Let's get this show on the road.
The Playbook.
What's disencumbered mean again?
You are no longer encumbered.
Oh, okay.
You're freed. You know,
where
you're freed
come
from
up with
the
these?
Thesaurus?
I guess so.
Apparently so.
I mean, isn't that what you would do in this case?
I
when you look for interesting words?
I like my adjective.
Yes, I like them both. I like both of these.
Well, how are we feeling, always guys? The Packers went out and we were worried after the loss, and suddenly we come back and beat up on the Lions, as we hoped they would do, as we expected they would do under normal circumstances. But are you feeling okay, or did that first half still just have you a little unsettled?
Yeah, it took a little while, right?
It was definitely better than a kick in the head, though.
Yeah, it took a little while before anybody started feeling comfortable, I think. Again, you just let the other team go right down the field and score 7 points quite easily. Kevin King, thank you. So you're like, oh, here we go again. And this time it's going to be to the lowly Lions. And, you know, you're really kind of doubting things for a while, for most of that half, actually. But fortunately, we have, I think we're going to talk about this later. But we're going to talk about it now. We've had good old Jared Goff to thank with a fumble, an interception, some penalties. The Detroit Lions did everything they could to help the Packers in the second half. And to the Packers' credit, they took advantage. So end, we have a win.
I'm going to ask this question here. Because
you bring up
Jared Goff. And Jared Goff eventually just kind of imploded on himself. There's all this talk about Matt Stafford, how beloved he is by some people. I guess this renaissance of appreciation we have for his amazing ability. And yet for years in my head, I always had it that I can always count on Matt Stafford is somehow going to blow the game for the Lions. And it always seemed to happen game after game after game. When did this happen where Matt Stafford played for the Lions for this losing team for years and years, like 0-16, and now he's being regarded so highly, and now Goff is the one imploding?
I think everything's a little rosier with the retrospectoscope. I think people forget. You're right. They went 0-16. That's awful. But I remember in those years around that season that the press was like, oh, he's much better on paper. He's much better than you think he is. He's surrounded by a bunch of bozos. No, he was an 0-16 quarterback. And I think Goff, they thought he was going to be this great savior, but he, about halfway through the game, looked in the mirror and remembered he was Goff. And played accordingly.
Yeah, I think Stafford had the arm talent that fans liked, and so they kind of talked him up a little more maybe than he deserved, because he really didn't come through in a lot of cases when he really needed to, you know, as a quarterback. But he had that strong arm, and he'd make an occasional, you know, impressive throw. But with a better team with the Rams, I think he doesn't need to try to do as much. And I think he's a good fit there.
So We're going to say we're already well into the first quarter here, but the Packers really kind of saw, instead of it just being really necessarily a tale of two halves, it really went on this steady, I guess, incline as the game went on. I mean, the first quarter.
Upward trajectory.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers, honestly, they looked terrible. You know, both offense and defense, you know, they were letting the Lions just run up and down the field, and they were passing, you know, what, Cephas, remember that? Cephas, the former Badger?
Yeah, who
just
got
catching these, catching passes left and right.
Kevin got torched on that.
Yes.
He was social distancing. That's all. Trying to be safe.
Lost in time and space, wash, rinse, repeat.
Right. Then you got to the second quarter, and the Lions were still playing well. The Packers started playing a little better, but obviously they were losing at halftime. And then the third quarter started, and it still seemed to be a little clunky at the beginning. And all of a sudden, boom, Aaron Jones just started, you know, catching a pass here, catching a pass there, running in for a touchdown. Suddenly the Lions couldn't do anything on offense. We didn't hear from Cephas the rest of the game. Just what happened as this game went on? What changed?
Eric Stokes. He only had one tackle, but it seemed like he was gunning for King's position. I don't know if he replaced him entirely because I honestly didn't pay that close of attention, but suddenly he was in the game and there was better coverage.
You know, what they did was they played all three. They played King, Stokes, and Alexander. And I basically, King got some snaps as the nickelback, you know, in the slot. Mm-hmm. So they kind of moved them around a little bit the second half in different positions. I still saw King a few times on the outside, but they gave Stokes more opportunities out there. And, you know, he looks like he lives to break up passes, right? I mean, he's a sticky corner, right? He's not playing 6 yards off. You know, he wants to be right there when the ball arrives, you know, and that's what he did a couple of times. So I thought a very impressive performance for only his second real NFL game.
So do you think you'll see him with more snaps than King moving forward?
I don't know about more. Like I said, I think that they're going to use those three, Alexander, King, and Stokes together in different alignments, depending on who they're covering, you know, who the receivers are, who the team is, what kind of scheme it is. I think they're going to try to make use of all three of them at the same time, which is to the detriment of Chandon Sullivan. He's the odd man out. He did still get some snaps, but still, he's the person who's going to be affected most by that. And I think it's a good move. If, you know, if they can find a way to minimize the King damage, you know, to keep him out of the spots where he's expected to cover a receiver 40 yards downfield, if they can keep him out of those situations, then it's going to be okay.
I do look at it, and I feel like you're right. I mean, in the NFL, you got to play so much nickel. So regardless of whether King is playing in the slot or whether he has the starting position and playing up on the receiver, they're all going to get playing time. But, you know, I think we've reached a point where we know if we put either one in a base defensive set, King is going to struggle. Stokes is going to have his plays where he struggles, but kind of like we just talked about with an upward trajectory, we know that Stokes is going to get better.
Oh, he's got definitely a better learning curve.
I don't know if Kevin King is ever going to get any better.
If it would have already happened. He's plateaued.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of feel like he's content doing whatever he's doing, you know? Like I don't see the passion in him to really get mad when he gets beat or, you know, get angry or make an attempt to do something differently. He's just still, all right, well, I'm just going to track this guy and hope that I can break it up. And I am 5 yards away, but there's still hope. And boom, touchdown. So I don't know. I don't think you're going to see anything better from Kevin King.
Well, if anything, he kind of doubles down on his mediocrity. It's like, okay, I'm going to just kind of half-ass trot along a side and maybe try to break up a play. Most of the time he doesn't.
But I think, you know, and I call this out, I think, in the show we did just before the first game, where I said what I wanted to see from this team is how much accountability are they going to ask from each other? And just like you said, Al, yeah, I don't see King holding himself to any higher standard to get better or get upset. But in past seasons, I haven't seen the rest of the team or even the coaches seem to really get upset with him either. This was the first game I noticed he struggled in that first quarter, and then he kind of disappeared. Like, I didn't see him. I keep looking down in the field looking for where he was covering the guy on the line of scrimmage. He wasn't there. You're right. They put him back in the slot and hid him. And yep. That's a reaction. That's a, we can't trust you out there on an island anymore. So, you're coming out here with the archipelagos and you're going to, cover the guys in the middle.
A bunch of islands.
The only one with a thesaurus there, bro.
Wow, I'm just impressed that you just rolled that off the tongue there. Very good.
But can he spell it?
Yes, I can. But I'm not going to bother because we'd waste too much.
But, accountability, I don't know if it's there yet. And there was a great tweet from Corey Jennerjohn that hammered home that I do not know if I trust Joe Barry yet. And he tweeted and said such, yesterday. The fact that Matt LaFleur had to tell Joe Barry to apply pressure on Jared Goff is shockingly awful. Everyone that thought things were suddenly going to change with the new defensive coordinator are in for a rude awakening. Why is LaFleur having to be Captain Obvious with his defensive coordinator? I want to know that answer.
Well, I don't have that answer. CD, do you have that answer?
Well, and I've said this for years, obviously, even going back to the Fire Capers era, I kept saying, who are you going to bring in that's going to do better? It's a great thing to fire, and we Packer fans are wonderful at wanting to fire people.
Especially defensive coordinators.
Absolutely.
And special teams.
And in every case, it's well-deserved. But we keep bringing in guys that don't seem to change anything. And as I look at this defense, the thing that just keeps popping out of my brain is we have, maybe not this past week, but we have Za'Darius Smith, we have Preston Smith, and we have Rashawn Gary. And it just seems like, well, we can only play two of them at a time, so we'll rotate them through. And I'm like, how hard is it to come up with some sort of scheme in which they can, your three most talented pass rushers can somehow be on the field at the same time? I mean, yeah, it takes innovation. I don't know what the answer is, but somebody should be brought in who can say, here's the talent that I have. I'm going to figure out a scheme that puts everyone in the best position to do that. Whereas you have the Joe Barry scheme, which is, hey, how can I take that great 0-16 Lions defense that I coached years ago and put that scheme in here? And that's what we're doing.
But this head coach has to say, pressure the quarterback. That's like, hey, go do a thing. That should be obvious. It just kind of makes me irritated that they had to have that conversation.
Well, as frustrated as we can be with this, guys, we're going to call this the end of the first quarter. The Packers bounce back. We're going to call this a win, right?
Yeah, we got him. We got him. A tepid win, but it was a win.
Well, this is one of those games that was pretty much on the offensive shoulders. If you put up a million points they go unanswered, yeah, you're going to win the game. So, yeah, it's a win.
All right. So let's take it now to our second quarter. And this, of course, is the title of the show tonight. Mr. Jones, what a great game he had. Was it four touchdowns? I'm thinking it was four touchdowns, correct?
Three in the air, one on the ground.
Exactly. Just a dominating performance. And I haven't said the name of a certain quarterback yet. But
on purpose.
I think it was very noticeable that at the end of the game, they did some post-game interviews right on the field. And without, trying to be too, negative or anything like that, I think it's fair to say that Aaron Rodgers comes off being a little detached. Is that an okay word? Would you guys agree with that?
That or aloof.
Aloof.
kind of like my house cat. That's kind of this, very aloof.
This little kind of flipping. Yeah. Everyone is worried. Told you not to worry. Get out, And then you get Aaron Jones, who steps out into this post-game interview. The effusive joy that he has playing this game. The smile he has on his face as he tells the story of his father who passed away. And just the, aw, shucks, yeah, I had his ashes around my neck in a pendant and I lost it somewhere on the field, but it's okay. It's in the end zone. It's where he'd want to be. I mean, you're talking about a guy who not only captures your heart on the field, he captures it off the field. What a great guy.
I was really worried, and maybe this is the pessimist me, that some jackwagon grabbed his necklace when he was in the end zone. And if that were the case, maybe they tossed it back in after they said they realized what they did, or it truly fell off in the end zone. But I'm glad he found it. what struck me in his post-game interview is he had emotion, unlike the unnamed quarterback, which is kind of like, yeah, relax, shh, whatever. It's like, quit playing mean cool. Maybe act like you enjoy your job. Like, Jones loves his job.
That he does. No disputing that. I think he was probably influenced a little bit by Jamal Williams.
His buddy. Just going to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who was having fun, too, by the way. And I liked how his former teammates all came and greeted him and hugged him. And how he said last week with a little shade that he really wanted to stick around, but he has the new girlfriend and her name's Detroit.
Yeah.
And I expect that, but it was a little annoying how the announcers in particular kept alluding to, he was rejected by Green Bay. And I'm like, no, he wasn't rejected. It's not like they wanted to get rid of him. It's just, when you're trying to sign five guys to mega deals all at once, someone's got to be the odd man out.
And Quadzilla was much more affordable.
Exactly. So, I think you're right. There's a guy we can be really happy for. I think he has a great presence in the locker room. I think he's just simply a happy guy, and that makes me happy. But, man, Aaron Jones, how did we get so lucky to get this guy as a Green Bay Packer?
And I remember partway through the first quarter, heading into the second quarter, was that you who commented, hey, it's nice that Detroit's committed to the run, but we weren't at the point? Maybe it wasn't you.
It doesn't sound familiar.
Well, someone else was complaining. It's like, hey, Detroit committed to the run. This was after Jamal Williams was starting to light things up. But then Aaron Jones came on. And if he couldn't get the run going, he had some fabulous hands, too.
So the pendant that was around his neck, and I remember watching on TV, it looked like he was reaching in to pull it out and he was going to show it to the camera and it wasn't there. And I remember kind of looking at it and going like, what he was going to do there. The trainer, and his name is Brian Engel, goes by the nickname of Flea. Now, remember, at that point after that interview, you could have looked out at the crowd and said, hey, could you all come on the field and help look for this? And there would have been 60,000 people on the down there looking for that thing. Brian Engel, the trainer, Flea, not only searched for it so late, kept the lights on, took him out there until 1:45 a.m.
So he was doing little tiny rows back and forth, back and forth, back and forth then.
Because you got to figure, it's been stepped on, it's been ground into the dirt a little bit. What a great story. I'm sure he got a nice little lobster dinner gift certificate or something like that. But what a great story.
But this is a guy that players always speak with in high regard. So I'm not surprised he did it.
Well, I'm looking forward to every one of Aaron Jones's post-game interviews for the rest of the season, perhaps more so than someone else's.
And I have missed his touchdown sunglasses and sombrero.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Now, if there was an MVP of this game, it was definitely Aaron Jones.
Yes, no doubt at all. So that'll take us to the end of the second quarter, and I think easily Aaron Jones might even count for two wins by himself.
we'll play by the book and just
get it. We'll say it's two wins. So it is now halftime when we'll move into the third quarter, and Chase Sternberger.
Ciao. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Oh, that's so
rough
mean.
Rough crowd.
So mean.
He did not have a good training camp, so he didn't really earn himself a spot.
The reason he's gone is he did not really show the dedication to his craft.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those were all the hints that you got from listening to the very unusually frank comments from his position coach and from other people who spoke about him. And, he just was still struggling. Here he is. And he had all this time to study the playbook. We're not playing last year and he's still having issues, they also said that he didn't exactly work out much during the offseason, so he didn't come back stronger or anything. So
the work ethic was questionable.
The work ethic. I think he's got a decent amount of potential and talent, but, without that work ethic, it means nothing.
Well, he was on the bubble heading into training camp, and I remember...
You would think he'd be a little smarter, too.
Game three, he just looked like he was phoning it in. The mental mistakes, the sloppiness. Like, I was surprised we even held on to him at that point, so I am not surprised we let him go.
Yeah. I think they probably kept him in case of emergency. If like two tight ends go down and they needed somebody, they might have kept him, but that didn't happen.
No. And I think that Sternberger, he was given every chance by the fans. I mean, you're talking about a fan base that was begging for a tight end every draft. I mean, even TJ Hockenson, who we played against this past week, remember how much we wanted him? Oh my gosh, let's draft him. And of course we didn't get him. I think he got picked before our pick had come up. So yeah, we really wanted Jay Sternberger to just be that guy and to develop. And every time we saw a pass, it was like, oh, here it is. Here it is.
Nope.
Sometimes he make a catch, but more times than not, he wasn't. And what also didn't help him is that Dominic Daphne has really come in. I mean, you got Robert Tonyan, who's your George Kittle-esque, pass receiving tight end. You have Mercedes Lewis, who's your toolbox. You know, that guy is just making the big passes and can catch the short
Ed
ones.
Ed West, yeah.
But Dominic Daphne, watching him play last week, really taking on that interesting H-back role, kind of line up in the backfield as a fullback, but also going downfield, taking out safeties. I mean, just he's indispensable. He's not going to get a lot of big stat lines, but you need that. And that's three tight ends.
Daphne actually had one more snap than Tonyan did, 29-28. Mm-hmm. Plus, he played 11 special team snaps. So they value the guy. Absolutely. You're 100% correct.
And he was always where you needed him to be, and he was there on time, which is something Sternberger always seemed to lack. He was always about three steps off on any pass and just didn't have that accuracy.
And, of course, don't forget, you still have Josiah DeGara
right
on the roster, who's in concussion protocol right now. So, I mean, Jay Sternberger was not necessary. He wasn't a guy that,
Nope.
We need it anymore. So, yeah, you're doing okay.
And he cleared waivers, by the way. Nobody claimed him.
Here's my shocked face on that one.
Yeah, but sounds like he's possibly getting picked up. Rumors out there by the Seattle Seahawks.
Don't know. I haven't heard that one.
Haven't heard.
So, it was reported by Michael Sean Duggar, a new addition for Seattle, Jay Sternberger, and sounds like he's been signed to the Seahawks practice squad.
Okay.
So
he's an insurance policy.
Good for him.
Exactly. Hopefully he'll get it together. I mean, like I said, I wanted him to do well, but he didn't. So.
And if he doesn't, he's just proving the average career in the NFL's 3 years or less.
They would be this smart with Kevin King. So end of the third quarter. I guess we're gonna have to say Jay Sternberger is a loss.
Or is it a win?
It's a win for us.
So that's a draw.
It's a tough crowd here. It is. Let's call it even.
Let's call it a tie.
Let's be kind. We're
2-0-1 right now as we get into our fourth quarter and getting through this game against the Lions. Remember, there was a lot of chatter. We talked about it last week on the podcast. A lot of discussion on Twitter on Monday. People asking, exactly what has to happen against the Lions for you to be fully relieved that all your worries that happened from the week previous are gone. And the answer tended to be, well, they should win this one. Yes, I'll be happy if they win, but this is a game we should win, right? So we're still kind of in this boat like, okay, so we can run over the Lions who don't know how to win. What happens when we play another quality opponent? And now the Packers next week, Sunday Night Football, are taking on the 49ers who are 2-0.
But they're only a 3.5-point favorite over Green Bay at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at it as an even game.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not even getting sported points at home. So.
Okay.
And a couple guys are on the injury roster. Rashim Mostert, of course, running back is on IR. That's probably one of the biggest names out there. Looks like we might get. We're probably not going to get Za'Darius back. He's on IR too, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he's 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks.
So we both have two studs out, definitely. But what are you guys looking for in this game? I mean, Sunday night, what do you need to see from the Packers to make you convinced that this is still that championship or disappointment team?
They have to keep Aaron Rodgers honest. So, and today, Jenkins did not practice. And he was the only player that did not practice today. I really hope he can get healed up. I think it was an ankle. What I'm trying to remember. Maybe ankle.
Yes.
Yeah, ankle. But hopefully they're just giving him some rest time that he can heal up. Because if it's like other games when we've gone to San Francisco where Rodgers spends half the game on his back, that does not bode well. We have to play clean ball on both sides. It was second half this past week was encouraging, but it's going to be a bigger challenge this week.
I think that for them, the key is to actually get out to a fast start and get a lead early. I think if they find themselves behind again, you know, unlike playing against the Lions, I don't think that it'll be a very good thing if they're behind. They're going to get out of their offense. Okay, Aaron Jones isn't going to be used as much as he was. They're going to have a little replay of week one, not necessarily the extent of the score, but the situation, you know, where they get behind and they get out of their offense completely. And that would be a very bad thing. So for me, I think they need to get out to a lead. For once, if they win the toss, don't freaking defer. For once, take the ball, go downfield, go up 7-0. Put the pressure on the 49. That's the way I look at it.
The announcer suggested that on the radio, actually, before the game against the Lions, that they not defer and give Aaron Rodgers the ball and go out and do something with it. So interesting you say that again.
So he doesn't start panicking because we're down 14-0 or something. That's when he starts making stupid mistakes.
He starts thinking he's got to do it all himself to bring him back. And they get completely out of the offense scheme that works, which includes Aaron Jones. Whether it's by running or whether it's by short passes, whatever it is, you get the ball in his hands, he makes good things happen.
So a little quiz question for you. Going back to 1996, you know, when the Packers won the first Super Bowl, thinking about all those games, you know, those playoff games in the, you know, 2010s, you know, the Colin Kaepernick games and all just those games that just were crushing. Who has the better record between the 49ers and Packers in the regular season since 1996?
Probably the Packers, because the Packers won the October season. They won Monday Night Football against the 49ers. Chris Jackie kicked the winning field goal kick. That was an October game. They won the Mud Bowl. Granted, Steve Young had broken ribs at that time. Yeah, I'd probably say Packers for regular.
They are 12-3 against the 49ers in the regular season since 1996.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not even a contest. Yeah, in the regular season, we own them, but holy cow, the playoffs.
Yeah.
The playoffs.
That's a different story.
A very different story, especially in the last 10 years or so. So, yeah, I think definitely maybe that trend will continue. This will be a nice, easy win. In fact, I think the Packers got a very nice, I want to say it wasn't like 34-17 or something last year during the regular season. The 49ers were pretty banged up. Packers got
half their team was on. Yeah, it was hurt. Half their, you can't really go by that.
No,
it was the walking wounded. But you know they have two running backs. One's on IR. The other's out right now with a sore ankle. He's not playing this week, so we theoretically could stop the run. So they are kind of more banged, theoretically.
She said stop the run?
Theoretically.
Oh, that was a good one, Kelly.
I want a pony as well, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little handicap with, but yeah.
Well, I do think that Mostert being out is big because that guy is good. I mean, he destroyed them in the playoffs the last time. I mean, he absolutely destroyed them. And just watching him play since then, he's a guy that kind of came out of nowhere and really turned into a top running back. So him being out is big, but, you know, I'm not worried so much about their, you know, their offense. I'm worried more about what their defense is going to do against the Packers offense, you know, and sorry.
Oh, so.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Armistead, Fred Warner. I mean, they've got some good defensive players.
But Armistead is questionable as of
today. As of today.
As of today, which means he'll probably play, but he may not be 100%.
Yeah.
So it will be, I guess to sum up, this is another quality opponent, whereas, you know, I don't know if week one was necessarily a quality opponent, but we sure made them look like quality. Week two, Lions, I don't think they're a quality opponent, and for at least a half, they look like one. This is a quality opponent. I mean, this is a decent team. Yeah, they've got a couple guys in IR, but you know, this is a game we expect to probably, this is a team we expect to see in the playoffs, you know, come next January. So this is a good test for, I guess, not just the talent of this team, but the mindset and whether people like Joe Barry can get their act together enough to put people in the right positions to make plays.
Agreed.
All right. Well, that'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter. Can we call this one a win yet?
I don't know if we can call this one a win.
No, I think this has to be another draw. Yeah. So we'll say two wins, zero losses, two pushes. Not a bad night coming off a win against the Lions. But now it's time for our Packers game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer game predictions.
So the Green Bay Packers are going to travel to San Francisco. They're taking on the 2-0 49ers on Sunday Night Football. 49ers, a 3.5-point favorite at home at Levi Jean Stadium. How do we see this one playing out? Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, I just have not seen enough from this Packers team yet to believe that they will not get outplayed and outcoached by the Niners yet again. A healthy Bosa and Ford are going to give the offensive line fits, especially if Elgton Jenkins, who did not practice today with an ankle injury, isn't 100% or, God forbid, can't play. It helps the Packers that Raheem Mostert will not play, but a Shanahan offensive game plan versus a Joe Barry defense does not give me any warm fuzzies. I rarely do this, and I'd love to be wrong, but I have the Niners winning 27-21.
Well, Al, I'm going to join you in our bout of negativity. I just don't think, and I hate to say it, that Aaron Rodgers' post-game interview, you know, his nonchalance he's had on the Pat McAfee show, I'm just not convinced that this team is as hungry as they claim they are. And it's traditional for an Aaron Rodgers Packers team. They've got to have their back against the wall. They've got to get embarrassed. You thought it would have happened after week one. They still came out sluggish against the Lions. I think this could end up being a game where if they put it together, I think it's an easy win. I just don't think, as you said, with Joe Barry and maybe not everyone being on the same page yet, it's going to happen. I'm going to say it's going to be 49ers 29, Packers 22, and a lot of soul searching in the locker room when it's done.
I guess I'm going to hold my nose and try to be optimistic just because somebody has to be contrary here, and I don't feel good about it. But this likely looks like a game where the Packers will have to rely on both offense and defense, unlike last week, when they merely just gave Aaron Jones the ball and he worked his touchdown magic for a million points. But, and this is a huge but, the Niners are only a 3.5-point favorite on their home turf. So to quote the great philosopher Lloyd Christmas, so you're telling me there's a chance. If the Packers defense shows up to play and we have a healthy offensive line, it'll be a closer game than I think you guys are thinking. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm probably the one that's going to be wrong. Packers 24, Niners 21. Please, oh please, Mason Crosby, be accurate in the last 30 seconds. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 12th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be found on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. If you like what you heard, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go, everyone.
Go Pack Go. Prove CD and I wrong.
Absolutely. See you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.